mind to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 9. Genesis 9, and we want to begin our reading at verse 8. It's always good to be with you, and I always feel a little worried about those who pick the short straw and have to get Lacey shaking his head. He picked it for the day. He had to put up with me all day. I tell you. I was speaking one time in Winston-Salem, and I had a series of gospel meetings there, and he announced the next man, or next Sunday, that there was a man there who's going to speak all day. And I objected. I said, boy, when I come, you limit me to 45 minutes. When he comes, you let him speak all day. Well, anyway, it's nice to be together, isn't it? And we want to read from Genesis chapter 9. We want to deal tonight with God's everlasting covenant. We want to discuss something of the nature of covenant in the Word of God. Verse 8, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud. And I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is a token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Now may the Lord bless his word. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thrilled tonight to be partakers of the everlasting covenant. We thank you that we are able to say, now the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever. Make this real and rich to us, through the study of your word, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Many times when we gather together at the Lord's Supper in the remembrance of the Lord, we sing hymn number 2 in our hymn books, the worship hymn book, a debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I sing. And when we think of covenant mercy, just what does covenant mercy mean to us who gather together to remember the Lord? The flood of Noah and the ark that preserved him and his family, 8 souls, is one of the most suggestive illustrations of our salvation in the whole of Scripture. The ark and what it means, what it meant to Noah, and what it pictures to us. The ark is intended to picture for us that great salvation which lies in what we call the washing of regeneration. Noah's family was buried in the ark to all the world. But by this burial, they were floated out of that old condemned world onto a new world. And it was a new world of life and grace. Death to the old world in the ark. And that was the means of their safety. Now, Peter speaks of this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, where he speaks of this and he says, "A like figure, wherein baptism also doth now save us." And baptism is a great symbol of our regeneration. But remember, when we talk about regeneration, we're talking about the new birth. And baptism is in no sense the cause of the new birth. Baptism saves no one except in a figure. And that's what Peter's talking about. He's talking about the figure of baptism. And you see the great truth that baptism speaks to the heart of God's children is that the believer is standing today in the old world, but he's buried to that world, and he's buried by baptism into Jesus Christ. And just as we rise from that liquid tomb of baptism, it becomes a figure of the resurrection of Jesus Christ into a new world, and we come forth like Noah did, a new man, to walk in newness of life with our blessed Lord, just as we were raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we should walk in newness of life. So we read in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Now when Noah and his family came out of the ark, Noah was free, and the whole world was before him. And when Noah offered the bullock and the other clean beasts upon the altar, God smelled a sweet savor. And Noah showed forth the employment of the believer today. What is our employment? We are priests of God. We offer to God that which speaks of the person of Christ. And you see, the Lord was pleased with Noah. When Noah offered upon the altar the clean beast, God was pleased with him, and he gave him a covenant. Now, that very security that God gave to Noah and his descendants is the security that you and I enjoy. As we stand today in the blessings of the new covenant, that night that our Lord took the cup, when he instituted the Lord's Supper, he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sin." So when we sing, "A debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy I sing, nor fear with God's righteousness on my person and offerings to bring. The terrors of law and of God with me can have nothing to do. My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from you." We're singing reality. Just as Noah could, you and I can. We have that security. We stand tonight under a covenant which has its own faithful witness in heaven. The covenant of Noah had a faithful witness in heaven, the bow in the cloud. The covenant that you and I are under, the new covenant, we have a faithful witness in heaven, that blessed one at God's right hand, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's more transcendently beautiful than any rainbow, that blessed person of Christ. It's amazing. When you read the 10th chapter of the Revelation, I believe that that mighty angel of Revelation chapter 10 is none other than our blessed Lord, and there's a rainbow round about his head. Oh, the sign of the covenant, beloved. You and I are secure in our blessed Lord. Now, the covenant that God made with Noah, that the world should no more be destroyed by a flood of waters, is typical of a more ancient covenant that God made with Christ. When God covenanted, God the Father covenanted to give to our Lord Jesus Christ a people that he would own them, save them, and bring them safe to glory, and in a coming day be able to say, behold, I and the children which thou hast given me, that he would be their God and they would be his people forever and ever. You see, the covenant that God made with Noah is typical of that great covenant that God made with Christ on behalf of his people. And the rainbow, which was a symbol of the covenant with Noah, is typical of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the blessed and faithful witness of God to us, the people of God, a debtor to mercy alone. You know how the third stanza of that hymn, what it says? Our name from the palms of his hands, eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains, in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure, just as sure as the earnest is given. More happy but not more secure are the souls of the blessed in heaven. My, what a portion is ours. Now we want to think tonight of, first of all, the nature of the covenant. This covenant that God made with Noah is a beautiful picture of that blessed covenant that is ours, the everlasting covenant, also the new covenant. First of all, what thrills my soul is this. The covenant that God made with Noah was a covenant of pure grace. There was nothing in Noah why God should make a covenant with him. And there was nothing in you or me why God should bring you or me under the new and everlasting covenant either. It is all of grace. Now, Noah was a sinner just like us, and Noah needed a sacrifice. And Noah proved this in a very short time, for he planted a vineyard, you know, and all the rest. And we must never remember that men at their best are still only men. Noah was saved by faith, just like us. Now, Noah never sought this covenant. Oh, no. It was God who proposed it. Now, this covenant is all of grace, and it is all of grace because it is all a promise. It is all a promise. You notice the words. Now, I make marks in my Bible. I don't know about you, but I do. And I'm so thrilled over this passage, I circled a number of words. In verse 9, God says, I establish. In verse 11, God says, I will establish. In verse 12, he says, I make. Verse 13, he says, I do set. Verse 14, it shall come to pass. Verse 14, when I bring a cloud. Verse 15, I will remember. Verse 16, I will look. Verse 17, I have established. This is what we're talking about. The words, I will establish. It shall come to pass. I will. These run through that covenant that God made with Noah. It was not Noah doing something. It's what God said he was going to do. You see, Noah never sought this covenant. He didn't. Every student of Scripture, a person who studies the Word of God, he knows the vast difference between thou shalt and I will. When God says thou shalt, he's giving a command to man. But when God says I will, God is telling us what he is going to do. This is a great thrust of Galatians chapter 3, where Paul is showing that the Abrahamic covenant, the great covenant that God made with Abraham, had to do with promise, the promise that God made, not the faithfulness of Abraham, and not the law covenant, which was 430 years later, could never disannul what God said to Abraham back in Genesis 15, when God entered into covenant relationship with Abraham. The law covenant cannot circumvent that which God promised to Abraham in the great Abrahamic covenant of grace. Now this covenant is likewise a covenant of grace. The covenant with Noah has been faithfully kept. The bow has been put in the cloud. Now, that bow didn't depend in any way or in any degree upon man's activity. It is not, ye shall remember my covenant, and when I see it, I will put my bow in the cloud. That's not what it says. God says, I will remember, and you shall see. Oh, what a difference, friend. That's the difference between grace and a legal covenant. It is not, ye shall remember my covenant, and then I will not destroy the earth if you're faithful in remembering. Oh, no. Rather, it is, God says, I will look upon the bow, and I will remember my covenant. It is an everlasting covenant because God has forever established his covenant in the heavens. Oh, the first thing we learn is the nature of the covenant. It is a covenant of pure grace. But now let us consider the sign of the covenant. When do we see the sign of the covenant? Well, the sign of the covenant is the bow in the cloud, the rainbow. And the greatest cloud that ever gathered on planet Earth gathered when the Son of God hung on Calvary's cross. The earth was covered with blackness, and we sang tonight at the Lord's Supper, well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glory's in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man the creature's sin. The sun refused to shine when the Savior experienced the awfulness of Calvary. Someone has said about the miracle of darkness, the darkness declares Calvary, and Calvary declares the darkness. You see, human sin and divine wrath made that tempest there at the cross so black and so terrible. All the earth was afraid. There never was a cloud like took place at Calvary. And it was on that black cloud that the great rainbow appeared. The Lord Jesus lifted up as a sin bearer. The one who said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must a man be lifted up? And there lifted up, as we sing, was he to die. It is finished, was his cry. He made atonement. He made expiation for sin. The sinner's conscience is dark with clouds when we remember our past sins. And oh, thank God that we can mourn and lament before God, but our Lord Jesus is the one who is revealed to the heart. And as the covenant rainbow, he speaks peace to the troubled heart, and he speaks peace to the troubled conscience. The sign of the covenant. Noah could look up after a rain and see the rainbow. You and I who have come to the cross with all our sin and shame, reminded of John Bunyan in the great Pilgrim's Progress, as Pilgrim was going from home with a past behind him and a heavy burden on his back, and he saw the three crosses, and as he looked at that center cross, the burden rolled off his back and rolled into the sepulcher, never to see it again. That's what takes place when we come to the cross. As a guilty sinner, the conscience weighted down with sin, we behold the Son of God. He speaks peace to the troubled conscience. We are delivered from the wrath to come. Why? When we come to the cross, we see someone else is troubled for us. Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He's there on the cross in Calvary's Hill, and he's there for us. We see someone else bleeding in our place instead. The blood that is required to make atonement for the soul, he willingly sheds it there in our behalf on the cross. Furthermore, we see him offered up, the innocent one for the guilty, the great truth of substitution. Occasionally I speak with a group of preachers and to a group of preachers. They are called particular Baptists. And this one particular time, when we meet, if they take an offering, and those who minister the word that day, they get a free meal. And the moderator of this group, I knew a brother was there who didn't have the money, but he didn't speak that day. And one of the great truths that the particular Baptists hold is the truth of substitution. The innocent for the guilty. Christ died for the ungodly. And the man was coming around and he was picking up the tickets and he came to mind. And this man who comes around, he's a very, he's a stickler for spiritual things. I just looked at him. I said, Brother George, do you believe in substitution? He just stood there and looked at me. He didn't know which way to go because he didn't know what was coming. He said, yes, I believe in substitution. Well, I said, then substitute this brother's ticket for mine. He didn't know. He didn't quite know what to do, but he couldn't get away from it. He said he believed in substitution. Oh, beloved, that's what took place in the cross. Hymn number 165 in our worship hymn book. O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head? Our load was laid on thee. This is a hymn of substitution. That second stanza of that hymn, death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee. but thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. That bitter cup love drank it up, left but the love for me. It is this truth of substitution, friends, this truth of covenant mercy that calls forth the thanksgivings of God's people when they gather to thank God for the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died, the innocent for the guilty. What do we see in this covenant witness in heaven? We see transcendent glory and beauty. Revelation chapter 4. The apostle John is caught up to heaven. And the moment he's there, he sees a throne, and he describes the one on the throne, and he says there's a rainbow round about the throne. That's a covenant witness in heaven, beloved. Where's the rainbow? Well, when John gets there, he sees it round about the throne. It's about the throne of God. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 1, we have that mighty angel, our Lord Jesus Christ, and there's a rainbow upon his head. What do we see? When we look at the rainbow, we see vengeance satisfied. That's what we see. The storm is past. It broke on the Son of God. Jehovah lifted up his rod. O Christ, it broke on thee. Thy open bosom was my ward. It bore the storm for me. That's what we see in the glory. The storm is past. It broke upon the Son of God. Isaiah 53 says, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Oh, the satisfaction that the Son of God receives through the work of Calvary's cross. He sees the travail of his soul. He's not frustrated. He's satisfied. Satisfied. I'm reading a book at the present time. One of the books I'm reading is called Mission Accomplished. And one chapter of the book is titled this way, he got what he paid for. He's satisfied. He sees the travail of his soul. He's satisfied. When we look at that covenant witness in heaven, we see the rainbow. It's above. It's hung up. It's round about the throne. It's upon the head of the Savior. It's without a string. It's without an arrow. It's just a bow. In the rainbow, we see the color of light, friends. And as we see it, we remind ourselves that it is God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And hath shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There's no arrow in the bow. It was spent, friends. It smote the Son of God when he bore the storm, when the cloud came over. But thank God the storm is past. And you and I see the witness of the covenant, and the witness of the covenant is in heaven. You see, friends, the whole counsel of God is written out in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read in Colossians chapter 2, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in him we are complete. When our Lord was here on earth, in John 14, he's speaking to his own concerning who he is. And Philip asked that question, you remember? And he said, Lord, show us the Father. our Lord said, Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. All that God is to be found in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the witness of the covenant in heaven. Are you in the ark? You see, here's the key. Noah was saved from judgment. Where? In the ark. When a person is in Christ, judgment may be all around them, but we are just as safe as Noah was. Just as Noah was kept with judgment all around him, you and I who are in the ark of safety, our Lord Jesus Christ, we are as safe as Noah was. Have you taken your place as being dead to the world because of a covenant relationship that now exists because of the blood of the everlasting covenant? You see, this is what makes for a separated life. You can preach separation, friends, till you're blue in the face. But what makes for separation is a believer's knowledge of his relationship to Christ, a covenant relationship. And through this covenant relationship, he has died to the world, and he's alive in Christ, and he's awaiting his Son from heaven. Oh, I don't know, but it could be that for some of you, this message means absolutely nothing because you've never laid hold of that eternal covenant that comes through the forgiveness of sins. Have you believed in Christ to the saving of the soul? Remember, it is faith with Christ that becomes the evidence that you are in and a partaker of the everlasting covenant available through Jesus Christ the Lord. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. When I look back and read Genesis chapter 9, and I read the I wills, I will establish, I will look, I will remember, it thrills my soul. God will never forget. We are linked to his Son from all eternity. And it became ours to know that day that we believed. What a glorious portion is ours. We are safe from judgment. Where? In Christ. Therefore the scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The scripture says, in him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And we are complete in him. We're not complete in our experiences. We're not complete in our feelings. We are complete in him. It was not what Noah thought about the covenant. It was what God said about the covenant that really mattered. What does God say about Christ? The scripture says to be in Christ is to be blessed eternally. To be in Christ is to be blessed completely. It is to experience eternal salvation, eternal life, eternal joy. To be out of Christ. Out of Christ is to be eternally incomplete. to be out of Christ means that you are dead in sin. To be out of Christ means without hope and without God in the world. Where has God set the witness of the covenant? The witness of the covenant is in the glory. To Noah, it's in the rainbow, and you and I bear witness to the perpetuity of the Noahic covenant that God made. Every time we see the rainbow, we can sing what we did this morning, "Great is thy faithfulness." We can think of another covenant, the everlasting covenant, of the one who wears the rainbow round about his head, who bore the storm, and who brings the peace and the calm, even our Lord Jesus Christ, and we are united to him in life. My friend, is it yours? Are you in Christ? And to be in Christ is to be in the place of safety. I trust it is. We're debtors to mercy, friends, and we're debtors to mercy alone, and it's of covenant mercy that we sing. Can you sing of covenant mercy because you are a partaker of it? Let's pray together. Our Father, it's thrilling to consider the person of thy dear Son, his blood, his righteousness, that blessed covenant that he made with his people. We thank you for the preview of it, the prefiguring of it in Noah, and that every time that we see a rainbow, we're reminded of thy faithfulness, O God, and the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Take this word now and bless it to every heart, for Jesus' sake. Amen.